Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
A very good morning to you if you've just joined us. I'm Harold Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. It is the Friday edition. I want to remind you, though, that he has performed before tens of thousands, and his music has touched millions around the world. Idan Reichel will be in conversation with Simon Anstey. That's this Monday on the Overdrive just after 4 p.m. Don't miss it. Certainly I'm not going to. Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. Really greatly looking forward to that conversation. Another conversation that I've been telling you about is our need to understand the Emergency Act. I particularly want to understand it in terms of things like manslaughter. So if I decide that although I have COVID, I'm still okay to go out, and I go out, I go to a supermarket, I go to, I don't know, my kid's school or wherever I go, somebody gets ill and unfortunately passes away, what legal implications and what could I face? What could one face? So joining us on the line is Daniel Eloff from a lawyer at Dear South Africa. Very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. Thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. It's this whole situation. You know, we always talk about the fact that the law and morality obviously used to be very closely tied, and then it kind of got separated. So it might have been illegal to commit adultery. Now it's just immoral, but it's no longer illegal. When we get to this type of thing, somebody going out, let's say with COVID, knowing that they have COVID, are they morally bankrupt, or are they also legally putting themselves in danger? Can we try and understand what this Emergency Act means?
Sure. It's usually, as attorneys, we tell clients that when they come with legal questions to us, that the answer depends. And this is one of those classic cases where the answer definitely depends. It's a yes and no answer. I think the important thing is to make the distinction between there's the Disaster Management Act and the regulations promulgated in terms thereof, and then obviously there's criminal law on the other side. So something like going, you know, outside while being infected with COVID-19 is not necessarily, obviously the Disaster Management Act and its regulations advises that you don't go outside, but it's not a crime for you necessarily to be outside. The question that we'll ask ourselves to determine whether or not it is a criminal offense is whether or not you acted with intent to go out and go out and about. And
well, we seem to have Daniel. Sorry, your line just went bad for a moment. You were saying that the question that we ask ourselves is if you went out with intent.
Yes, indeed. So if you go out with intent, or whether or not you act with negligently, meaning that you realize that you have COVID and you suspect that you reasonably might infect someone else and that infection will cause their death in the end.
Right. But I mean, do we need the act for that? In other words, isn't that culpable homicide? If you go out knowing that you have COVID, surely we don't need an act, and somebody, God forbid, contracts the disease and then dies. We shouldn't really need the act for that, because isn't culpable homicide the negligent, unlawful killing of another human being? Aren't you negligent, irrespective of this act?
Yes, the question that the court will ask itself is whether or not a reasonable person acted negligently in those circumstances. Now the problem with COVID is we're sitting with a virus that still has a 99.5% survival rate. So there's an argument to be made that a person with COVID who's out and about in you know, society thinks that, well, you know, the chances that I might kill someone because of this virus is extremely low. So it will probably be left for legal argument, and the court will definitely look at the reasonable person. If it's, for example, a doctor going out and about, the court will say, well, this doctor should have known that this virus is quite deadly. Mm. But had it been someone that didn't necessarily have that knowledge, the question becomes a bit different.
Yeah, and Jenny asking, one of our listeners saying, can someone who is positive, COVID positive, but wearing a mask, still go out then if their intent is not to infect other people.
Yes, well, that's also again where the question comes in, or whether or not they could have reasonably foreseen that them being out and about could cause another person's harm to another person or another person's death. Again, the regulations promulgated in terms of the Disaster Management Act, our National State of Disaster regulations that we've had since March, say that when you're infected with COVID, you need to remain indoors. It doesn't criminalize you being out and about, but it does compel you to be inside, which is sort of a murky gray area of the law, and given our current legal circumstances, it's uncertain how exactly that would play out in a court. But again, I think the question comes down to, and perhaps this is where we want to again try to link morality to the law, is to say, is that the responsible thing for a citizen to do? Because I think we all know of some people who have, you know, been quite risky in their behavior, even if they're not, haven't tested positive, they suspect that they might be positive, yet they're still out, you know, going to shops and being, you know, mingling between society.
So does the Act talk about that at all?
Yes, well, it confines you to your house if you have tested positive, and it's not just the regulations of the Disaster Management Act. There are also some health protocols that are in place and directives by the Minister of Health that compels you to remain at home if you have tested positive.
Right, and should you not do so, do we understand what the legal ramifications might be, whether you've infected somebody or not? Sorry.
Yes. No. So at this point, it's sort of a murky gray area, because it's not being out and about while you're COVID positive is not criminalized, but you, on the other hand, you're compelled to remain at home. So it sort of is something in between at the moment. And it remains to be tested in court.
How does it work if there's, because the regulations keep changing, and sometimes there's a little bit of obscurity around it. People aren't 100% sure. I know that, for example, with faith-based gatherings, the last regulations said it was a bit unclear. It was then clarified, and it's clear that no faith-based gatherings can take place. But for a while, it was unclear. Does the Act allow for these constant changes in order to update, in order to regulate it?
So it's again, one of those very difficult questions, because the problem being that these regulations are basically executive powers. So meaning it's the cabinet member regulating South Africa and the entire country. We're quite certain that that was not what the legislator intended when it drafted the Disaster Management Act. It wasn't intended to be used for this prolonged period of time. However, you know, it's as Guy Fawkes said, extreme circumstances require extreme measures. And it's the exact same situation now. We're sort of traversing our way through and figuring it out as we go. So technically speaking, you'd rather want the legislature, you know, having oversight over this whole process. But again, that's another legal question for another day. And it's something that, for example, the Democratic Alliance are currently fighting in the court, is to say, well, these regulations don't have parliamentary oversight, therefore they're unconstitutional.
And for example, we are now compelled to wear masks in public. What happens if you are stopped and you're not wearing a mask, for example?
So the new regulations say that when you don't wear a mask and a police officer or official asks you to wear a mask and you then refuse to, then they can arrest you and they can fine you for that. So there is sort of that first step, that they first need to request you to wear the mask, and then if you then fail to do it, they can then arrest you. But again, it's something that's untested in our courts. We haven't seen a case where a person has refused to wear a mask after being requested and it ended up in court. But those cases will definitely come. I mean, we know of people being arrested left, right, and center for kite surfing and walking around without wearing a mask. And that will sort of be sorted out as these cases progress through our court system.
One of the problems or one of the challenges that I have, and certainly I'm sure a lot of people do as well, is there's a certain amount of these laws that strike us as being irrational. For example, the not being able to be on beaches in areas where it's spread out, not being able to kite surf, to a great extent, certainly within the Jewish community, the synagogues, when they were allowed to open, were incredibly well run. There was very, very few examples of transmission because it was so well managed. Then the law comes along, or the regulations come along, and they make some of these things, or they disallow some of these activities. We know that they are, or we believe, or we feel that they're irrational. Unfortunately, we've got to stay with the law. But how does one deal with that that dilemma? I'd love your thoughts on it.
As an attorney, I think the best way to resolve it is by challenging it in court. That on the one hand, and on the other hand, we need the societal and political pressure on the executive to not make these irrational laws. It's important that we push back. I think South Africans need to realize in what grave danger we are, that the executive power has usurped legislative power during the past year. We're now sitting with a situation where basically a single cabinet member with the support of a National Executive Council, so basically seven people, have been dictating the entire South African country for the past year, and they just do it by promulgating a piece of paper and signing it at the end. So I think it's important that we try to normalize South Africa again. It was necessary initially to promulgate these disaster management regulations, but we've come to a point where we definitely do need, a democratic process, one that has accountability, one that goes through due process to ensure that South Africa is controls this pandemic in a responsible, effective, but still in a progressive manner.
Yeah, but I would argue as well, and I would certainly encourage our listeners not to take the law into your own hands. Let it be challenged, because I think that would be an incredibly foolish thing to do. And there's very little defense, I would imagine, for a person breaking these laws to say, well, actually, no, I don't agree with them. I think they're irrational.
Yes, no, definitely. That's why I'd argue for, firstly, a political answer, and then secondly, as a defense mechanism, legal challenge. Don't go deliberately outside and try to challenge the laws that you believe are irrational. We still live in a country with the rule of law and a democratic state, and you need to challenge it through those mechanisms and the means available to you.
And of course, because it becomes incredibly dangerous, I might think that the illegality around a faith-based service or being on the beach is irrational, but somebody else might think that, well, having a wedding with 100 people or 200 people is irrational as well. And so it goes, because we are all, unfortunately, victims of our own cognitive dissonance, aren't we?
Indeed. And that's why it's good that some faith-based groups are challenging the regulations, because our courts have been quite responsive regarding these lockdown regulations, and people have been actively litigating. It's interesting, South Africa is one of the few countries where we've seen this amount of litigation regarding lockdowns, so there aren't many countries that have seen similar cases, and I think it's encouraging that our judicial system is holding up during these really scary times.
I think so too, but isn't the flip side of that, well, we are going through an incredibly tough time. Shouldn't we all just be unified and not spend our energy fighting these regulations that hopefully will pass in the next short, will be a thing of the past in the next short while?
Well, I think it's not a question of either or. I think you can do both. You can be a responsible citizen, acknowledging the risk of COVID while still trying to maintain and uphold a constitutional democratic state. You can do both, and I think the the problem comes in when people pose you with this binary of it's either the one option, either complete COVID compliance or complete COVID denialism. And it's not true. We obviously know that there's room in between. And I think that's where most moderate South Africans are.
I think absolutely, absolutely right. It's such a difficult one because we are all trying to do our best, but at the same time, we can't just accept everything that is thrown our way. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. I've been chatting to Daniel Eloff from, he's a lawyer at Dear South Africa. We're talking about the emergency. We were talking about the Emergency Act and manslaughter and other repercussions. Daniel, thank you for taking the time as always to speak to us. Fascinating conversation and a very, very important one to think about.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.